WAA TV Radio seeks to inform and engage the bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is your host, Dr. June Knight, coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee. I am so excited to be back on the radio with you again after the 40 Days Prayer Initiative. Listen, Bride, God is moving in our nation. It is not by small chance or happenstance that we happen to have one of the great prophets of the nation who has the governmental anointing on the line with us tonight to talk to us about what she sees in our nation right now and what is God saying to the bride. Welcome, Prophet Carolyn Sism. How you doing?
Great. Good to be with you, June. And yes. So glad to know that God is comforting you and healing you after the loss of your mother, and that we just lose our love to you and pray the Holy Spirit will continue to comfort you.
Yes, amen to that. It has really been a trying time, but really we just learn more about the Lord through our sufferings like that. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Bride, we have heard the life story of Miss Carolyn. She has shared with us. She's been on the radio many times. And one of the main reasons is because I value her walk with the Lord so much. I value her input from the Lord so much that I put some of her materials that she has released on her website from her teachings in my books, with her permission, of course. But this woman is so... It's hard to explain the anointing on this woman. When she preaches, it's like God gives her a book every time. Like she just, it's really amazing. I don't know of any other preacher that has that type of relationship with the Lord where it's like downloads a whole book for every sermon. I mean, it's Bride, what's the name of your website, Pastor?
www.eastgateministries.com.
And how far back does your sermons, the records you have on there, how far back do they go?
I would say they're back to about 2008.
That's what I'm saying, Bride. You have got to check out her website. You're talking about a wealth of resources, of wisdom, that God has downloaded into this mighty woman of God. And also, how many years have you been in ministry?
All my life, at some level. But yes. I received the call to what the Lord called. He said to me he was going to put me in full-time public ministry. So that's a totally separate call from serving the Lord in the church and lay ministry.
Right.
Let's see, I must have been 48 years old and I'm 77, so I don't know, I can't count that. What's
that? Oh, yes, I'm so excited. This is almost 30 years.
That's 15 years, 35 years.
Yeah, because you know what? I'm 48, so boy, this encourages me. I receive it.
Well, God's already placed you in ministry.
I know it. 48, and you know, a lot of the great prophets of old, like Smith Wigglesworth and all them, most of them didn't even start until their late 40s and 50s. So age has nothing to do with the anointing, amen?
That's right.
Okay, now, before we get off into the nation, I am going to pull on your wisdom a little bit, if you don't mind.
Whatever the Lord has, we'll deliver it.
Amen. There are many ministers that listen to this broadcast, and a lot of them are up-and-coming ministers like myself. And would you mind giving us a few pointers as to how we can walk out our ministry in character and integrity in this hour? Can you give us some tidbits?
Number one, stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, not on the people around you.
Wow.
Yes,
okay.
He is here to minister and love those people and accept them exactly where they are. But we have to keep our focus on the Lord. The spirit and troubles of those people will distract us, and they will project onto us their problems, and they will put things on us, not that it'll stick, but from their point of view that it's not of God. So we have to stay focused on the Lord. And we stay up under the mandate that he gave us. I taught at the Bible study yesterday when I was talking about John the Baptist and how the Pharisees were sent out to discredit him and to have him prove who he was and why he was moving in the authority that he was, even though he was born into the priestly family and he had a life beyond reproach. They were not the ones who sent him. They were not the ones who ordained him to be preaching. And when someone comes up to you and says to you, under whose authority are you? Know for a fact that that is a voice of envy. They have recognized that you have authority. So they are trying to diminish your authority and get the upper hand over it by having you declare under whose authority of you. And if the Lord sent you, if the Lord called you, then the Lord will set you into who he is in us. We will never have to be concerned about what we will speak or what we will say, because whoever Jesus Christ is in us, he will speak.
Aww.
Now, hopefully as we go through life, we get filled with more and more of him. And the more we know, the more Christ is in us, the more he will speak. But if God has called you, if God sent you, if you're not being sent by your own ego and your own ambitions, God will always speak. Amen.
Amen. That is awesome, sister, and we do receive it. Okay, now we are going to move on to the nation. Now, Bride, if you don't know this, this woman, God has given her such insight. I mean, I have been with her when I was in Houston in prayer meetings when she had with her intimate prayer people. I have seen this myself. The revelation that she has about the nation, it is so amazing. So I'm honored to have you on the broadcast today to talk to us about what is going on in our nation. So before we get into your revelation, I would like to ask you, to the spiritual leaders of the churches today, of the Bride, what would you say to us on how we should handle our people during this time?
Well, we are in a window of opportunity that the Lord has given us. The church must step up. We must boldly proclaim what the Word of God says and the Gospel says. We must call, well, as a prophet, I must call this nation to repent. because the apostate church and the weak church, the one that wants to be popular, the one that chases the noses, names, and nickels crowd,
yeah,
they come into agreement with the political spirit of the Antichrist. And they have not stood up to it. And so now the Lord has opened the window, and he has given the church this open window where we can speak boldly and freely. And there has to be repentance. The church has to repent for not standing with Jesus Christ through this trial. And we know that at some point the Antichrist will take in this one world order, which is being formed. It's an underground government in our State Department that has been formed, I know, under the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, because God told me. That's how I know.
Right.
And it is and there is also military that has been put in place in being trained in different areas of the U.S. and in rogue nations. This I know, because the Spirit revealed it to us. And when we see these riots, which start out as protest, which I'm all for protest, peaceful
yeah.
protest.
Yeah,
but when we see these riots and these anarchists come in like a couple hundred at a time or sometimes more,
yeah,
these men are being trained in military compounds to come in and turn these protests into violence. So as our law enforcement is given back their authority, which was stripped from them in the last years of the Obama administration, he was stripping local law enforcement of their local of their authority.
Yeah.
The spirit of the Antichrist, one of his characteristics that you know him, is the spirit of lawlessness, always. The Bible says. Okay, so in these days that are coming up, we're going to begin to see these military groups who are in various places, who have been trained and are being trained for violence, begin to fight stronger against our law enforcement. And so we have to be very wise to pray for our law enforcement. This morning, President Trump got up and he boldly declared that the federal government would stand behind law and order and law enforcement, and he empowered the law enforcement of this nation to do their job and enforce the law.
Yes, Lord.
And there is going to be a violent pushback on that. Now, did I answer your question, or did I get off somewhere? But my main message to the church right now, I know what God's called me to do for this hour, and we'll talk about that later.
But yeah.
My message to the church is those who have, pastors who have not come into agreement with the Word of God, and if you came into agreement with the government that was in opposition to the Word of God, you have to repent, and you have to call your congregation to repent.
Wow.
This sin cannot be covered over.
Yes.
It cannot be covered. You see, many people will follow the victor's circle. We know this, just as they did Jesus.
Yes.
When Jesus was doing miracles and signs, he had this big crowd, and they were all following him around. But when he was nailed on the cross, they disappeared. They became part of the crowd that was accusing him.
Yeah.
Okay, the same thing is true today. The people in the church who did not stand with Jesus Christ in his trial must repent. They cannot go into the victor circle and say, whoop-de-doo, we're in victory right now, because that's where the crowd is moving in the church. There's got to be repentance.
Yes. Wow, that is powerful, sister. Because I know I come under some fire because we are the Bride Ministries, ended up endorsing Trump, basically, where all I did was say, when he got elected, I said, welcome, President Trump. The Christians are so happy, you know. So I had some people come against me and say, not all Christians are happy, and you don't have a right to speak on behalf of all Christians. So I was like, well, I get that. But, you know, in my heart, I could not understand why any Christian would not support him because of the kingdom agenda. To me, it was so evident, the two different agendas. One was for everything against God, gay rights, abortion, just everything. And then on the other side was him saying, I need your help, church. Pray for me. You know, I am seeking your help. But the church was so busy judging him because of his faults, they couldn't see the big picture. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I was like, I don't know how, you know, but now the church should be able to see where his heart is. Because now, I mean, there's been so many prophecies that he's a modern-day Cyrus. So many prophets showed up there at Washington, D.C. to be there when he got inaugurated. I mean, it's like if you can't see by now the way that he has done his first 100 days that he's still in the middle of, and he's changed all these laws to back Christian agenda, the kingdom, like when he did that saying, I will protect all you ministers. You can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ without worrying about persecution. I mean, that right there should tell every minister, who does this? And then when I'm riding through Atlanta and I see a big billboard that says, Trump, pray for America, make America great again. I'm like, the writing is on the wall to the church in America. I don't get it why they cannot see it. You see what I mean?
Well, we have 8 years and even going beyond that where a spirit of mind control, again, the spirit of the Antichrist,
yes,
has come over this nation. And prayer was taken out of school, of course, many years
yes.
ago.
Yes.
But people who have children, let's just take the last 8 years. Let's say someone was in the fourth grade when Barack Hussein Obama came into office. Okay, for the next 8 years of their education, they were taught that political correctness was the law of the land. And they were taught the ideology of this, and I will say this Muslim ideology.
Yes.
So Barack Hussein Obama, he deceived the American people more than one. He presented himself as a black American and got the support of the black Americans. But he was an Indonesian Muslim in ideology.
Right, right.
And he deceived the American people, and he began to set into place and give place to that ideology. Okay. Those who were, say, in the eighth grade when he came in and they went through 4 years of college, their mindsets have been turned toward this direction as the proper mindset. So it will take the mind of Christ and people actually reading the Bible. Because, see, churches are Bible illiterate to a great extent now. I'm not saying all churches. But many are Bible illiterate because
right.
of their fear of their government. They have not preached the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a nation who came into fear of their government. And as these anarchists began to move in and take over our law enforcement agencies, they became more and more afraid.
Yeah.
As we saw the FBI and the CIA and all of the agencies that were set in place to protect us begin to come against us, if we were in opposition to this mindset, then fear came up on the nation.
Well, now explain to us, let's move on to the election. Okay, I heard from your mouth the whole year prior to Trump that you believed he was the man. Now, am I correct?
Yes.
Now, when you was proclaiming what you were seeing in the spirit, was you not under a whole lot of persecution and opposition?
Well, most of those people left me. Let's say they unfriended me. And but see, if we're standing with God, what does it matter what man has to say about us?
True.
The Lord will bring us to a place if he is going to share with us the mysteries and secrets of heaven and trust us with the mysteries and secrets of heaven, which is what he's calling the church into right now.
Yeah.
And that he can tell us what he's doing. If he is going to be able to trust us with that, then we are not intimidated by what anyone thinks about us. Rejection has no power over us.
Fear has
no power over us. And persecution has no power over us.
Right.
When we come into that level of boldness, then he's going to bestow upon the church a greater measure of the kingdom of God, which is what he did with the apostles. It's in Luke. I think it's Luke 22. Let me think out of where that scripture is. Luke 22, 28 through 29. Jesus was speaking to the disciples in the upper room. And he said, you are those who have continued with me in my trials. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed upon me.
Yeah.
So through this time window that we're in, my current new mandate upon my life, I've spent the last 10 years in battle with the spirit of Antichrist, exposing, challenging, revealing. But in this first of the year, I believe God changed my calling. I believe that I am to call the church to possess the kingdom.
Oh,
you know, in the book of Daniel, it says the saints will possess the kingdom of God. Now, we know that some folks think that'll be when Jesus comes again. No, I think it's now. Because Jesus came preaching the kingdom. Jesus came to earth to establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. He came preaching the kingdom of God. And the power of that kingdom was given to him while he was on earth. And
right.
he has all power has been given to him now. Above all powers and principalities and dominions, Jesus has power. Okay, but the church hasn't stood in that place of where it can be bestowed on us. So those who have stood with Jesus Christ through his trials these past 10 years, it is my persuasion that he is bestowing, just like he did upon the apostle, a greater measure of the kingdom upon us. And we hear people with good intent, and I'm not criticizing them, say we want a church like the book of Acts. Okay, sure. We all want a church like the book of Acts.
Right.
But when God bestowed that power of the kingdom upon them, they were facing persecution. James was killed shortly after Jesus was killed. They were killing them, cutting off their heads, throwing them in prison, beating them up. And so the church in the United States of America has never come into that place where we've had that kind of boldness, where we would be willing to be persecuted and rejected for the kingdom of God.
Now, preach it.
And so you want a church like the book of Acts? Okay, then you're going to have to stand up. You're going to stand up for Jesus Christ and whoever is coming against him and persecuting him. And you're going to have to come forth with boldness.
Yes,
that we will that we will be like the disciples. There's another scripture in Acts where Peter and John had just been persecuted by the, I guess, the Sanhedrin. Anyway, it's at the temple. And so they were meeting and they were praying. Now, they knew this kingdom had been bestowed upon them. And they were praying the prayer of David. And they were saying, Lord, release to us, here it is, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? And the kings of earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. But the next verse, they didn't include it in their prayer in the book of Acts. And it was David crying out that the bonds and the cords be taken away from him. You see, they didn't pray that because they knew that when Jesus Christ, who had been raised from the dead, that when he bestowed that kingdom upon them, that there was no kingdom, there was no power that had any cords upon them. And they their prayer was that God would give them the boldness, that they would be able to speak forth in boldness. Now, Lord, look on their threat and grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word.
Yes, Lord.
By stretching out your hand to heal. Okay, so the Church of the United States of America, even the good-intended people who say, hey, you want a church like the book of Acts, we're going to go sit in a room and we're going to go pray in our houses and we're going to go have a church like the book of Acts. Excuse me. Jesus Christ bestowed the power of the kingdom on the church of the book of Acts because they stood with him in his trial.
Wow, amen.
Church of the United States of America, you got 50 kinds of Bibles. You have tapes, you have CDs, you have a computer, you have radio, you have television, and you have, we're just like that generation that was going to be condemned. We have not apprehended that for which we have been apprehended. We have not stood with Jesus Christ in his trial. We have not stood up. We have cowered down. And we have said, I am afraid that I might lose my ministry if I come into agreement with the word of God. Now, there is a people and there is a remnant that God has upon the face of this earth, and he has set them apart unto himself, and they have stood with Jesus through his trials, and there's going to be a greater measure of the bestowing of the kingdom of God. If they want to be in it, they're going to have to repent.
Well, what would you say to the ones that does not believe that God would use a servant like Trump, a person like him?
Well, we can all go to Cyrus, that's for sure. We could have them look at themselves.
Yeah.
How is it God could use me? How is it God could use you?
That's true.
It is only by grace and mercy that we were saved. The man has been saved.
Yes.
We absolutely believe that the man has received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior.
Yes.
God can use a donkey.
Yes.
God can use a woman. God can use a burning bush. God can control the minds of kings. God can use whoever he wants to use because he's God.
Yes.
Now, we know, I got a word this morning maybe, I don't know how much time we got, so I'll throw this in.
Yeah, go ahead.
It was yesterday morning before praying, before going to the Bible study. I was preaching out of the first chapter of John and about how the Pharisees tried to trick John the Baptist.
Yeah.
And Lord gave me a message. We know that Donald J. Trump, with God's help, God did it, not Trump. He overturned the Republican establishment.
Yes.
He overturned the Democratic Party and the Clinton machine and the Obama machine.
Yes.
Overturned the media. He left them speechless for 2 days after the election. They've got their voice back now. But they all they could do after the election was go, mum, 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 mum.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So yesterday when I was watching the Senate trying to block the Secretary of State, I got this thought. I think it was from the Lord. I was praying for the Senate, for the Lord to overturn any ungodly power structures in that place.
Right, right.
And this is what came to me. The Senate is a power and principality controlled by demonic power. Mm. We the people have not approved of their governing for many years.
Right.
The Senate's power and principality is similar to the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin was a government set up by God for justice and for governing the Jewish people. God set them up.
Yeah.
It got corrupted by the greed for the power by men. Now, this is a 100-man assembly and very powerful.
Yes.
And so a spirit has taken them over, both Republican and Democrat.
Yeah.
So we the people must pray for the Lord to overturn, just as he's overturned the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, and the media, the corrupt usurping of power by the Senate, and return our government to a government under God. One nation under the government of God.
Yeah.
Which is what our founding fathers was the original intent.
Yeah.
Our government was set up under the order of a government under God's rules for life. Okay, because of our nation, the spirit of the Antichrist has come in to take over our nation, and in so doing can take over the nations of the world, which we know that someday this will happen.
Yeah.
And if the Lord had permitted Hillary Clinton to become president, this would have happened. But God heard the prayers of somebody. And I can't say all that appear to be church leaders have the right motive.
Right.
Some of them still are after their own agenda, their own name, their own thing. They're building their own kingdom.
Yeah.
And I'm not judging anyone or anything, but I'm telling you, if that's what's in your heart out there in America, you need to repent. And if you're in the church, you need to repent right now.
Yeah.
Because this is God's government. This is God's will. We got a window. We better take it.
We had a window
under George W. Bush, and the church became just as political as the government was. Mm-hmm. Now, if the church becomes political, I'm talking about politics within the church.
Yeah.
Setting up Sanhedrin power structures within the church, we're going to lose our window.
Yeah. I have heard many, many ministers say over the past month that they feel this is a window of opportunity. I've heard many say that the Lord's told them this will be an 8-year presidency. And during this time, God is opening the heavens to the church to give them the provision for the vision of the ones that have been in the caves, that has been through the testing, the trying, the purging, and the sifting, that God is going to give them their heart's desire, what he has downloaded into them during this time, for us to take the harvest. Like, if we don't get in our position in the army and take the place that God has put on the inside of us, we're going to lose this opportunity. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, it's serious. This is serious time.
Yes.
No more playing church.
That's right. Amen.
We're in a season of triumph.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I know Donald Trump's up there fighting every day. Okay, but I'm talking about the church.
Yes.
We're no longer fighting the same demons and principalities we fought for the past 10 years. And I go back 10 years because the last 2 years of the government under George W. Bush became very global.
Yes.
Now, Donald Trump, and I preached this a couple of Sundays ago, what I saw is he's cutting the head off the kings of the demonic powers.
Oh, wow.
You know how in the book of Joshua, God told Joshua to cut the heads off of the king of Ai, and that when he went in there, he had to chop the heads off the kings?
Yes.
Okay, and so those kings all represented demonic powers.
Yeah.
And those kings are still demonic powers under the kingdom of Antichrist going on. Okay, so Donald Trump is going in, and he's chopping off the head of the king of the demonic powers. Okay, so it's now up to the church to possess the kingdom.
That's right. Amen.
Okay. God sent in this in Joshua to go in and chop the heads off these kings. But then the Israelites had to go in and possess the kingdom, and they failed to do it. They did not possess all that God set for them to possess.
Right, right.
To this day, those spirits still have control of the Middle East because the Israelites failed to possess all that God called them to possess.
Right.
So what I want to say to the church, in this window that we have, however long it lasts, God is telling you, go possess the kingdom.
Yes, Lord.
And we are going to be held accountable for all of the kingdom that we have not possessed, just like the Israelites failed. Donald Trump, his job is to chop the head off the giant, the king. Some of the kings were giants.
Yeah.
And the church has got to know we've won this battle. I've seen in my uni many years as a pastor, and in marriages and in families, they'll fight days and months and to win a battle. But once the battle is won, they keep fighting the same demons that they're defeated, and so they lose what they want. Because they've not been delivered from the mindset that put them in the battle.
Right.
Not recognize their victory and end up destroying what God gave them to possess.
Right.
So God, I believe, and this is what I'm doing now, everything that I'm preaching, is I am calling the saints to possess the kingdom. The giant heads have been cut off. Will we have a battle? Yes. Did the apostles, after the Lord bestowed upon them the kingdom, they were still persecuted. But the power of the kingdom that he bestowed upon them gave the apostles, 12 men, including Paul, they went across the whole world like dominoes, and they changed the whole world because those 12 men possessed the kingdom the Lord gave to them.
Yes.
If I'm right, if the Lord is bestowing, if he has called me and many more others, I'm sure, to possess the kingdom for this time and to receive it, then there will be a major sweep of God's Spirit across the world. But if we do not, We're going to be like the Israelites, and we're going to fail to possess what God has given us, and we must do it now.
Yes, I was just reading in the Bible the other day, and how sad it is that Moses went through all that, fighting the king, bringing the children of Israel out, crossing over the river, and then does all that and not able to see the kingdom. That is sad. So, yes, bride, we have got to continue the path of obedience and walk with boldness, is what she's saying, following the Lord no matter what people are saying or doing or what the popular crowd is doing. We have got to stay the course because God has a plan and we only have a short amount of time in this window. So, Pastor, we're going to take a quick little break, and when we come back, we would love to hear the word that God has given you, okay? Thank you.
Bride, are you a writer, or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org.
All right, Pastor Carolyn, you've got the floor. Go for it.
Well, I think we can go back to Joshua. Joshua 23:12-14. And I believe this is the word of the Lord for the church for this hour. If indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you and make marriages with them and go into them and they to you, and by marriages, I mean coming into agreement with them.
Right.
No, certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you. But they shall be snares and traps to you and scourges on your side and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you in all your hearts and in all your souls, that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you, and not one word of them has failed. Therefore it shall come to pass, that as all the good things have come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things until he has destroyed you from this good land, which the Lord God has given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land he has given you. That is the word to the church. Now it's on the church. God has put a king in place who's chopping off the heads of the king, one by one. A civil authority. All through the Bible, God's always had two witnesses, the king and the priest. Civil authority, spiritual authority. From always, he set in place a king for civil authority, a priest for spiritual authority. God has set into the gospel church the king and the priest. Now, he has set in place a king with civil authority to chop the heads off of the king of the demons. Now the church has to arise in the voice of spiritual authority that God has given us for this season, and we have to apprehend that for which we have been apprehended. If we do not, we will have missed what God called our generation to do.
Yes.
That's my word.
Yes, now I am in 100% agreement. I feel like the same way God has called all of us, bride. This is the most exciting time the world has ever seen in my eyes. This is like, okay, Lord, you just gave us a golden key. The question is, are we going to grab this key for the harvest, or are we going to participate in the world's devices? That's the way I see it. So I pray, bride.
Let's go to this point. Okay, we got to break the spirit of laziness, apathy, off the church of the United States of America. The spirit of comfort. Okay, when God told Israel to possess Canaan, his promises for them, they had to go in and they had to battle to possess the land. When the Lord bestowed the kingdom upon the apostles, then they had a battle before them until God took them to heaven. The church in America is lazy.
Right.
We want God to just float in here and do some fantastic miracle. We want it done in a microwave second with a microwave mentality, and we don't want to have to be in position.
Yeah. I wonder, now this is just a theory, but I wonder if it's because, you know, right now we have what they call the entitlement generation, which you can see how spoiled people are based upon just the election. I mean, the ones that did not get their way acting like crybabies and colleges shutting down schools. I mean, just ridiculous how people are acting over something they did not want, you know, and the riots and everything else. But we also have the same problem in the church. And I wonder if it's because we have shifted our doctrine over the years, over the past 30 years, shifted our doctrine from accountability to God, stay out of sin, preachers preaching, don't watch this, don't do this, you know, keeping them in line with, you know, bringing revelation to them. We have shifted from all that, where we have the acute awareness of hell and the true reason we're living, souls, to where now it's all about satisfying, gratifying our flesh. Oh, it's okay. I've got a good word for you today. Don't worry about dying on the cross. Don't worry about falling on your face and giving up everything. You're not going to suffer. You see what I mean? It's a whole great, and you should know, Mama, you have been in this for so long. Am I right or am I off somewhere?
Oh, absolutely right. If we don't speak the words of get rich quick, and let me tell you something else. I don't know who else might be listening out there, but you churches who have turned your sanctuaries into businesses, to where you're selling products and you're having people sell products to make you rich, let me tell you, this is going to be overturned. There better be repentance. That better start now. And I don't need your approval, let me tell you that. I'm talking about to those people who have sold their souls to trying to turn the church into a business.
Right. God help us.
Someone asked me one time, and I'll just go ahead and say it, because I don't, you know me, I don't really care. We've got all this stuff out there about these people chasing that dinar.
What's dinar?
Huh?
What's dinar?
Yeah, I'm sure you know about the dinar. Okay, for 20 years, I guess, at least, I don't know how long it's been around. These people are buying up this dinar because it's going to make them rich. It's a scam.
Yeah.
And every month their fortune's coming in, and their fortune's coming in, and their fortune's coming in. Okay, this spirit of running after mammon is a sin. God blesses us, and He's the one that makes us rich.
Yes, oh yes.
But if our heart is to run after mammon, then we have missed God.
Yes, amen.
Sure, we have to have money to run churches. Absolutely. If we're going to get the gospel out there, we need money. But let me tell you, God is able to provide for whoever He sends and whoever is preaching His word.
Yes.
Because they can't serve two masters.
Right, right.
You have a church, and I know of them, they have turned their church into what do you call these pyramid things, where they're selling stuff and this is what they're doing to make money instead of preaching the gospel, because whatever God's given them is not enough for them, then they're serving two masters.
Right, right.
They're going to hate the one and love the other.
Right.
You cannot serve God and mammon.
Yes.
I am called to serve God. The money that I need for my ministry of whatever God has called me to do comes in when God sends me to do it. If the money's
right.
not there, I'm not sent. Now, sometimes I may have to go out on faith, and the money comes later.
Yeah, that does happen.
But if I know that God sent me, the money's coming, but I'm not chasing the mammon.
Right.
Okay. I'm serving God. Let's say I'm sent somewhere and I've got to come up with the money to pay my way to go. And I know that I'm sent. Okay, I'm serving God. And after I serve God, then the money's going to come forth. I don't know who I'm preaching to out there today.
Come on now, I'm listening, woman.
But you churches that have turned your sanctuaries into businesses, you're going to have to repent. I ask you, are you serving God or are you serving mammon? What were we talking about before I got off subject?
Well, I tell you what, that is sure an awesome subject. I was talking about how the doctrine has changed over the years from accountability and sin and an acute awareness of our eternal destiny versus today where it's been feeding the flesh of it's okay, don't worry about dying to your flesh, don't worry about paying the price and doing all this. You're going to go to heaven no matter how you're sinning, basically, is a lot of the doctrine I hear today type of deal.
Well, I got news for them. Some of them aren't going to make it.
Yeah.
I had an interesting experience recently. I won't say when because I don't want to identify the individual.
Yeah.
A young woman in her 30s in very deep trouble. Troubled. Not trouble, but troubled. Deep darkness.
Yeah.
And she had been crying out to the Lord, but I didn't know that until I started to pray for her. And when I began to pray to hear what God would say to her, I heard Him clearly, "Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more." So I spoke that to her. And then I asked her, "Have you been praying and asking God to help you with this and to forgive you?" Because I've never told someone, "Your sins are forgiven, go and sin no more." I mean, not in those words.
Right.
And she said, yes, she'd been crying out to God, which is why she came to see me. But when she got ready to leave, she says, "I don't know what sin is."
Oh.
So in answer to what you're saying, we have a whole generation out there, many who are going to churches who do not know what sin is.
Wow.
The immorality of sexual perversion is so common that people don't know that it's sin. The immorality of drugs and alcohol is so common. Lying, cheating, stealing, guile, meanness, cruelty, they don't know it's sin.
Wow.
Because even the churches are not confronting sin with God's moral standard.
Well, Pastor, I think of it like this. You know, the churches have got away from Sunday school. They got away from Bible studies. They got away from Sunday night service. So then when they come on Sunday morning, it's a hallelujah, hallelujah. And then the pastors are preaching, just a feel-good sermon. People are leaving with their demons. And then they're faced with, you know, the hell coming against them. They're being fed by television, being fed by the media, being fed by radio, the music of today, the spirit of Antichrist, basically. And then it's like the churches are not, I'm not saying all of them, but I'm just saying some churches are not in opposition of the spirit of Antichrist. They're not exposing the spirit of Antichrist. They're not exposing sin. They're not exposing what the enemy's doing. So these people are just running right into it and just being covered in the spirit of Antichrist. Like, I just see it in the spirit right now, like just a cloak of sin. And it's so sad to be a minister and to stand up in the pulpit and know that these people out there all week long are exposed to the spirit of Antichrist and all the evil around them. I mean, I bet there's not one. Now, of course, you know, my major is media, and it's the only reason that I'm harping on the media and on television, but almost every show has gross immorality on it. Cartoons now are just so satanic, and it's like you cannot, a lot of people that have been so desensitized over the years, they cannot even see what is right in front of their face. Do you see what I'm saying, Pastor?
Yes. They're feeding their soul with immorality and satanic images.
Yes.
If we feed our soul with beauty, beauty comes out of our soul.
Yes.
If we feed our soul with Christ, Christ comes out of our soul. And when we got saved, that was absolutely wonderful, and we thank God for getting born again, and then we received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and oh, hallelujah. But then God began that process in us of receiving the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls. So he called us to separation, to separate ourselves from the cosmos, that we can feed our souls with him.
Yeah. This is powerful, Pastor. Whew.
If beauty comes into my soul, and I'm talking the beauty of Jesus Christ,
yes,
then beauty will come out of me.
Wow.
If evil goes into my soul, evil will come out of me.
Exactly. What comes in will come out. Amen. Well, Pastor, I would like for us to spend these last few minutes in prayer, and I am going to pray for you first in your ministry and then for the nation, and then I would love for you to pray for the nation. I would love for you to specifically pray for spiritual leaders, that we would have a repented heart before the Lord, and that just whatever the Holy Spirit gives you, okay?
Okay.
Okay, Lord, we just thank you so much for the revelation that come forth on this broadcast today, God. Oh, I thank you so much, Lord, for the downloads that you give Pastor Carolyn, Lord. The wisdom that you give her, Lord, to impart into the church, Lord, I thank you so much for it. And for the word that we have received today, God, we do receive it. And as she was revealing about the sicknesses that are in our nation, in the Senate, in Congress, Lord, we lay them before you right now, before the foot of the cross, God. Cleanse our nation, O God. I pray a cleansing come to Washington, D.C., to the Senate and to the Congress and to the President and his cabinet and all the people that are involved, the Secret Service and the CIA and the FBI and our police force and all the different aspects of government in the United States of America. And also, Lord, as she brought out, that we would be the generation that would pick up our nation in holiness, righteousness, and consecration, Lord. That we would pick up our nation and the mantle. It is upon our generation, and that we will not let this opportunity go by, Lord. That we know that we are held accountable for this mantle that you have placed upon us right now, this opportunity for the glory that you are raining down upon our United States, God, that we would soak our nation in prayer, that we would soak our leadership in prayer, that we would repent, that our spiritual leadership will get on their face and repent on behalf of turning our backs upon you and the truth, and that we would speak the truth no matter the cost, that we would lay down our lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that we would obey you to the fullness of the mantle that you are releasing to every person that is called and anointed in the United States today, Lord. It is not a small thing what you are doing in our nation, Lord, and may we take our position in the army of the living God, taking our mantle, taking our tools, taking all the strategies that you have given us, Lord, and we're marching forth doing it, what you've called us to do, Lord. You are the one that knows the consequences that we will face, God. You are the one that knows what is before us, Lord. All we have to do is walk and obey, trust and obey, God. And I thank you so much for it. So for Pastor Carolyn today, God, we thank you, Lord, for the mighty mantle you have put on this woman, the governmental anointing on this woman to be increased from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord. I pray, God, you send her more intercessors, Lord, that will guard the gates, that will guard the gates as she's receiving from heaven, God. I pray, Lord, that you bless her with such a beautiful church building that it will be better than everything that she's ever lost, Lord, that she will have radio and television blowing out of that place, blowing out a trumpet of expanding the territories that you have given to her, Lord. I pray, God, you send her people that will hold up her arms, Lord, that will help her to march through this nation declaring the oracles of God before you take her home, Lord, that she knows that she has done everything that you have called her to do before you take her to glory, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for giving her to us, Lord, and we receive the word that she has given us today, Lord. So today we soak this word that you have given her, Lord, in the anointing and the power of Almighty God in Jesus' name. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm on fire, sister.
Amen. Thank you. I receive that. Praise God.
Thank
you. I receive it for the bride.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, I bring your servant, June, to your throne of grace and mercy.
Yes.
Lord, I know that your hand is mighty upon her for this season and for what you're calling the church to do.
Thank
you. Lord, I pray you continue to strengthen her by
yes.
the power of the Holy Ghost, to empower her that she will stay the course
yes.
and that no weapon formed against her will prosper.
Yes.
Yes. And every word that is raised up against her, it shall be in judgment, that it shall not come to pass.
Yes.
And Lord, that people will have the fear of God, because they will know that your hand is upon June Knight, and that you have called her even unto this time, into your kingdom for such a time as this.
Yes.
So Lord, I ask you to strengthen her hands, to surround her with perfect Christian laborers. Lord,
yes.
you have who will finance her and uphold her financially, that
yes.
will support her ministry and her calling. And Lord, I pray for blessing and prosperity upon her in every area of her life. I pray for blessing and prosperity upon her flesh, blessing
yes.
and prosperity upon her family, upon her home, upon her ministry. And Lord, I thank you for the heart that she has. And God, you have given this woman a heart that pants after you. And Lord, I pray that you will continue to guard up the loins of our minds, that we're
yes.
so. And we hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you. And Lord, that we will be part of the revealing of Jesus Christ for this time. And Lord, it is that we know that it is only by your grace and your power and your truth that we will be able to go forth in the power of this present sending and this present mandate that is upon the kingdom of God.
Yes, Lord.
So I pray, Lord, for my sister in Christ. I pray you hold up her arms. I pray that she continues strong, and that
yes.
the angels and heaven will declare, well done, well done.
Yes,
amen.
Whew. I'll tell you what, sister, I feel the fire of God in this room right now. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my gosh. Lord, what you are doing in our nation, God, I know you hear our prayers. Let's pray for Trump real quick. Lord, we pray for President Trump, Lord. We lay him at the foot of the cross before you right now, God. Soak him, Lord, in your presence today. Soak him in the blood of Jesus today, Lord. Encamp angels about him, Lord, to protect him. Thank you, God, for giving him the spirit of wisdom and understanding, Lord, that you would give him discernment of spirits, Lord, so that he will see through the lies, Lord. He is a bold man, Lord, that will stand up for the truth, Lord. So show him the truth and let the Christians stand behind him as he stands up for righteousness in our nation, Lord. Lord, thank you, God, for sending him to us, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. All right, sister, you have a blessed day.
Thank you. Good to hear from you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.